Want to refer to three short passages tonight, and the first is in the book of Isaiah in chapter 9. It's on page 846 in the Bible I'm using. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name is called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Father of Eternity, Prince of Peace. Luke's Gospel in chapter 2, page 1222. Luke chapter 2, and I'll just read the whole section from verse 8. And there were shepherds in that country abiding without, and keeping watch by night over their flock. And lo, an angel of the Lord was there by them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they feared with great fear. And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I announce to you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For today a Saviour has been born to you in David's city, who is Christ the Lord. And this is a sign to you. Ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good pleasure in men. And finally, a reference in the Epistle to the Colossians, chapter 1, page 1423, Colossians 1, in the middle of verse 20. Having made peace by the blood of his cross. You might have noticed that all these scriptures make reference to peace, and that's what I want to speak about briefly tonight. Something that's a pretty scarce commodity in the world is peace. And you can see what effort it takes, especially in the situation with Ukraine and Russia, to form some sort of peace between the two countries. It is involving a huge amount of negotiations and capitulations in one way and the other. But the peace I want to talk about is the peace that only God can give. To you as an individual, dear friend, peace, the peace of God is something that is completely unique. And something that's hard to describe unless you have it for yourself. But there's one thing is certain, that when you do have it, you know you have it. And you know, God's way of securing peace was all bound up in the plan of sending Jesus to this world. This scripture in Isaiah was written approximately 700 years before the Lord came into the world. And it's beautiful the way it speaks about him and the names that are given to him. But the one I wanted to focus on tonight is Prince of Peace. Prince of Peace. What a beautiful title to have, you know. You think of the baby being born, that baby Jesus being born in that manger in Bethlehem, known as all these names, but one of them was Prince of Peace. And I understand, well, I've been led to believe, I can be corrected otherwise if someone knows otherwise, but I've been led to believe that while the Lord Jesus was here on earth, it was a time of peace throughout the whole earth. And in one sense, that makes complete sense to me, because how could it be otherwise when the Prince of Peace walked this earth What a beautiful picture that is, you know, of God coming into manhood to fulfill the Father's will in order that he might secure salvation for lost and ruined sinners like you and I, and ultimately to secure your peace. So that's all I wanted to say about Isaiah. But when we come to Luke, we see here God's desire that there be peace on earth. Now that is beautiful to me, you know, that this was God's plan in order that sending Jesus into this world would bring about peace for men. Yes, it was to bring glory to God and on earth peace. Well, dear friends, how is this peace to be accomplished? How is it to be fulfilled? You know, we can learn a lot from the gifts that were brought, you know, to the Lord by the Magi. And Matt reminded us of those in the Gospel last week. But you know, one of them was the gift of the incense of myrrh, which speaks about suffering. And ultimately that was determined, the determined way whereby the Lord Jesus was going to secure salvation for this whole world, for the people in it, for the sinners, you and I, who as a result of us being born in sin, sin that had come into the world that God had created. God didn't create the world with sin in it. Sin came into it as a result of man's disobedience. And it says thus, sin has passed over all, for death has passed over all, because all have sinned. No one can opt themselves out of this. You know, man likes to speak about equal opportunities and having everyone on the same platform. Well, the gospel's well ahead of them on that front, because all have sinned. Everyone's on the same level. Doesn't matter whether you're King Charles in Buckingham Palace or you're Stuart McIntyre that lives in Blairgowrie. We're all sinners. And we all have a desperate need of a saviour. And God knew that the only way that that could be accomplished was to send Jesus. That was the only way. We've got a hymn that says, "Think you that God would have spared not his son, if by a creature the work could be done?" In other words, there was no other way. And the beauty of it is that the Lord Jesus, despite knowing full well what it entailed, was prepared to come into this world and deliver up his life in order that you and I could be saved. What a heart the heart of God is, you know. And that is the heart of God. That's another reason why Jesus came, you know. It was when sin came in, you know, God became at a distance from man. And that was not how it was supposed to be. Speaks beautifully in the early in Genesis about God coming down to the garden to commune with man. He wanted a relationship with man. The uniqueness of the creation of man, you know. Man would have you believe that the humans just somehow developed from the creature world. How nonsensical that is. It speaks specifically that God created man as a unique being in order that he might have a response from him. Like he might have an intelligent response from him. Well, that communion was lost as the incoming of sin And man was barred from the Garden of Eden. And that's what the case has been ever since. But God desires, that that relationship be restored. But it can only be restored on a righteous basis. That is, that things are done right. God can't ignore the sin. Can't ignore the sin that's in you and I. That sin had to be dealt with. And the only way it could be dealt with was if Jesus took on the whole sin matter. That is, that he became sin. Hanging on that cross of Calvary. Enduring the agonies, physical agonies, yes, but also his sufferings at the hands of God when he became sin. And God judged sin on the head of Jesus. So that you and I, as putting our faith and trust in him, should not have to endure that same suffering. That's beautiful, isn't it? You think of it, that God was prepared to not spare his son in order that countless myriads of men, women, boys and girls across the globe, from the moment the work was secured up till today, the 28th of December 2025, could be saved by coming to know him as their own personal saviour. By saying, by saying to him, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins, and I accept the work that you accomplished on Calvary's cross, that you took my place there. Please save me. It's very simple, And that's what it tells us in Colossians, that he's made peace by the blood of his cross. You see him hanging there. You think of that scene whereby those soldiers came along to speed up the deaths of those that were on the cross. But they came to Jesus and it says they saw that he was already dead. A soldier pierced his side and it says forthwith came out blood and water. That's a miracle, I don't know if the youngest ones would know, but it's an impossibility that blood flows from a dead body. But yet, it flowed from the body of Jesus. That's a miracle of Calvary. And thank God for the shed blood of Jesus, without which, the scripture tells us, there is no remission for sins. That is, dear friend, that by putting your faith and trust in Jesus tonight, you come under the shelter of that precious shed blood. And you know what it means? It means that God can look upon you and he can see the blood of the perfect sacrifice of Jesus, his son, and he can look on you as if you've never sinned. That's beautiful, that you're justified, just as if I'd never sinned. How beautiful that is, And so, dear friends, there's no work to be done. There are many religions in the world, and many of them require you to do certain things in order to attain, I suppose, the ultimate, whether it's salvation or whatever it is, I don't know what, because I don't study other religions, but they will ask you to follow a certain creed. There'll be certain things that you need to do. But when it comes to Christianity, there is nothing to be done because the work has been done by Jesus. It's all been done. The hymn says, to be on God's favour, in God's favour, believe on the Son. The Philippian jailer in Acts 16 asked one of the best questions that could ever be asked. He said, what must I do then I may be saved. And what was the answer? Believe on the Lord Jesus, and thou wilt be saved, thou in thy house. How simple it is, you know. How simple God's made it. In one sense, I think it's too simple for man. He prefers something complicated. And we see that, don't we? We see that, and I think we know something about that in our own fleshly hearts and minds. And we also see it displayed in the example of Naaman. Because Naaman was just told to go and wash 7 times in the Jordan and he would be clean. And you know, he almost missed out on the blessing because of his pride. He said, oh, well, I'd rather go and do this, that, and the next thing. Well, if he was to get the blessing, he had to do what the prophet said, and by extension, what God had told him. And that's what he found, that when he did what the prophet, or God had told him through the prophet, it says that his flesh became as a little child and he was clean. So typically, he was saved. And that's the way of blessing tonight, dear friend. Interesting, isn't it? That the whole article of sin came into the world as a result of disobedience. And your way, dear friend, to be saved from your sins is to obey God's word as it comes to you in the glad tidings. Believe on the Lord Jesus and thou shalt be saved. And you know, that's when you receive peace. Peace with God. Because, dear friends, once you're saved, you're saved for eternity. Beautiful that. That you have a hope beyond anything this world can offer. Tells us, you know, that this world, and we know that this world is fast heading for judgment, and we can see it all around how things are getting worse. But you know, our hope is not connected with this world. Our hope is connected with the glory. Our hope, dear friends, the hope of the believer is to see it, to be for him to come soon, to take us, everyone that's trusted in him, to be with him forever. What a glorious hope, you know. Eternity in heaven with Jesus. Can you think of a better prospect? Surely it brings peace to the soul and joy to the heart as knowing that you have that secure, that future secure, you know. Well, dear friends, that's all I've got to say. Feebly presented, no doubt, but just desire, my simple desire, is that you might have that peace that God desires to give you. Really know the peace that comes through accepting Jesus as your own personal Saviour. May you do so for his name's sake.
Amen.